Postman! Postman, come here! Tell the neighborhood!
What
a shanda, Larry! Larry David!
Not
only are you a lousy Jew, but you're a lousy human being!
He screws the wife of a man in a wheelchair! A shanda!
Maybe you should have given me some candy!
You're a lousy Jew!
All right, Av, it's time for our final episode-specific Postman here on Pretty, Pretty, Pretty Good for Curb Your Enthusiasm. Is that right?
That was very specifically caveated. You didn't say final Postman, final Curb Your Enthusiasm specific Postman.
Well, if this podcast doesn't end, then there'll be future opportunities for people to send us letters about various topics. So.
All right. Well, hopefully that for them, it doesn't end.
All right. So is it time for the Postman?
It is time for the Postman. And we start off with friend of the pod, A.B. Sutton, who says, this episode was three pretties. I have no issues with the way they wrapped up the series and the concept of the trial, but I just didn't find it to be a particularly funny episode. It was still very enjoyable, especially all of the witnesses, despite the trial being way over the top. Fucking asshole is Auntie Ray. Her heel turn was totally undeserved. And the come with guy was Jerry for getting Larry out of a year of jail.
All right. Yeah.
And AB will be joining us for a special episode next week, I believe.
Oh, okay. All right. Our next postman is a postwoman, Allie Lasher, who says, what a perfect final FU from LD to the fans, packed with love, nostalgia, and above all, spite. Nothing's perfect, but to wrap up a hugely successful show with a stinger to your other hugely successful show more than 25 years later is pretty, 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 pretty good. That's the full five pretties. Thanks for all the laughs. PPPG, here's hoping you'll continue the Friends recap, but much like ID, much like LD, excuse me, whatever's next for you, I'll be all ears. For now, mazel tov on a job. Done.
Very good, very good. Svi Reps says, glad I was finally able to get my postman in this season, even if it was one last time. What is with the inconsistencies on this show? I mean, have we not established that Leon has tons of sex, and yet here he is talking about how Jerry Seinfeld must need extra dicks for the amount of sex he's having?
Yeah.
What is with this character assassination? Do the rioters not even care about canon?
Yeah.
Seriously, get that nitpicky bullshit out of here. Curb is ridiculous comedy. It's not and never has been beholden to things like logic, social norms, or realistic behavior of actual human adults. Characters contradict their own previous behavior all the time. Let's not get hung up on the decline of the reality that this show exists in. The point of this show was to make us laugh, and I think the finale did that more than almost any other episode I've watched recently. Having said that, here's a list of nitpicks for this episode. I wish it ended with the camera zooming in on Larry, only for him to turn and say, I hope you remember to curb your enthusiasm to the audience.
Nah.
I think he was referencing that review that we saw. Maybe not. Okay. I don't know. Should have gotten at least one pretty, pretty good in the finale. Why did Auntie Ray not simply give a list of ingredients without measurements?
Yep. You raised this point.
If that wasn't Ben Stiller sitting behind Larry in the last scene, who was that? And was it intentionally a Ben Stiller lookalike? Is this another Ben Affleck situation?
I didn't. Who's the Ben Stiller lookalike he's talking about?
I don't know. This
was shared in the chat.
But it didn't look.
It didn't look Ben Stiller to me, based on what was shared in the chat.
Yeah, I didn't see anybody that looked like Ben Stiller to me. And then he says, I don't think it's fair to ding the finale for the guests they couldn't get, but it would have been great to see Wanda, Crazy Eyes, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, or more importantly, Jonah the Roofer.
Wait, hold on a second. Is he implying that there's somebody who they asked who turned them down? Because I don't think that's the case. Well, I think anybody they wanted, they
wasn't available for whatever reason.
Well, if they're dead, but anyone who's alive would have made an effort to be there, I'm pretty sure.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe if somebody's, out of the country or something. In all seriousness, I love the finale. They tied up lots of loose ends, had callbacks not only to the first episode of the show, but to the finale and first episode of a different show. That's some 35-year-old meta-ness. I gave room to series-long MVPs like Leon, Susie, Ted, Jeff, and Richard, and series-long LVPs like Cheryl. Did all the plots make sense? Of course not. But that didn't detract from the enjoyment I had, and I don't think we'll remember the nitpicks years down the line. I think this will immediately enter the pantheons of best series finales. Come with guy, I'll give it to the ultimate come with guy, the only guy who would foist himself on Larry and live with him for 20 years but never watch a single episode of Seinfeld, only to binge-watch 66 hours worth of the show in the course of a four-day trip where he was mostly in the courtroom supporting Larry. Fucking asshole. So many to choose from, but ultimately I'm going to give it to whoever the guest is for this week's pretty, pretty, pretty good. Sorry, you are the fucking asshole. I took a risk. As for my rating, I will give this episode of Curb the same rating as I give this podcast. Pretty, 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 pretty good. A full 5 pretty, 0 non-pretties. Looking forward to hopefully a few post-Curb episodes before you discuss which series to start covering next.
Since
V is, you know, we have conflicting emails. We have Ali who says go back to Friends. And V is basically saying anything but Friends.
It sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
all that remains to be determined, I think.
All right, our next submission is from Salvatore Martello. What a fantastic Italian name that is. He did it. The absolute madman, he did it. Of course he ended the series the same way he ended Seinfeld. How could we not have seen this coming from the very beginning of the season? Yeah, that's a great point. It's sort of like season 4 with the producers, where after the season's over, or by the time you get to the 10th episode anyway, it's so obvious what was going to happen, and you sort of wonder, how did we not realize this for so long? This is the most...
Well, a lot of people did call it out pretty quickly, I'll say.
Yeah. Sooner than the producers, correct. Season 4 was even more obvious in hindsight, I think, and yet took even longer for people to realize, I think.
Yeah,
because I don't think anybody realized that until it actually happened in the 10th episode. Whereas, yeah, by the time we reached the end of the season, we knew what was happening. But back to Salvatore. This is the most Larry David thing to possibly do. I have to give the series wrap-up 5 whole pretties. This episode, in my opinion, was perfect. The fact that it was the same as the Seinfeld finale but gets Larry off in the same way that he got Juan Catalan off was too funny. Yeah, that is true. There was no reference to that. I guess because in the world of Curb, that never happened, right? Because that would have to explain why there were cameras following Larry David around at a Dodgers game.
Yeah, in the world of Curb, that definitely never happens.
Yeah. I laughed the entire episode, and I felt it was very true to Curb. Although the season was definitely not my favorite, I'm very happy with how they're saying goodbye to 25 years of Curb. My fucking asshole for the final episode has to be Cynthia, not letting Larry in on the road, lying about it, threatening suicide and homicide, and perhaps worst of all, she tossed her keys to the valet. Yeah, although we said that being a tosser is not a bad thing. Well, I guess that's if you have consent from the valet. Her toss... seem to be
I think as long as you don't have opposition from the valet, I think there's a presumption that tossing is okay.
Yeah, I'm close to you, but a little bit over the line on the other side. I think default a toss is obnoxious. Like in a vacuum, a toss is obnoxious. But if you have any indication that a toss will be acceptable, then of course it's immediately acceptable. Okay. So, because her toss is done with sort of a disdain, it seems like. Anyways, my come with guy is us, the audience, says Salvatore. We stuck with Larry all this time to turn HBO's little experiment into the longest running show on their network. You're welcome, Larry. Seeing all those people from Larry's past on the stand tear him down is sad because even though it looks bad on the surface, we all know there's more to the story because poor Larry is just misunderstood. I think we all give Larry a heartfelt not guilty. Besides us, though, it has to be Susie. Getting dressed up like that to help Larry is a real come with guy move. If it weren't for Larry and Jeff's antics throughout the series, I think Susie would be extremely pleasant.
I mean, just to drill in on that point, I mean, again, we don't need to belabor this, but I think part of why this works better with Curb when it did with Seinfeld is because, like, that, like, Larry getting torn down and punished and blamed for things that he didn't do, you know, misunderstood is basically every episode of the series. So, like, this wasn't, like, something kind of, like, out of left field the way it was on Seinfeld, I think made it a little bit better to swallow down.
Yep, that makes sense. All right, what else does Salvatore say? Once again, fantastic episode, and I laughed the whole way through. I love the subtle callbacks, such as Larry putting the pen in his ear like Jason did during the table read. Well, I didn't even notice that. Good call. Leon's friend Horsecock Williams, seeing that poor Rachel Heineman's still not married even after the breast augmentation. Do we know she's not married? I guess because her last name is still Heineman. Yeah,
her name is still Heineman.
Yeah.
She added a lot of middle names, but no last name.
Yeah, maybe she's a feminist who keeps her last name. Maybe she got divorced. Who knows? Yeah. Even though after the breast augmentation, just hearing her say Skia Sahama was too funny. My favorite was hearing Auntie Ray yell, "Fuck you, Larry," which I was waiting for, as it's one of my favorite lines when the Blacks left the house seasons prior. Only thing I could have asked for was maybe to see Vince Vaughn, Cousin Andy, and John Hamm there to support Larry. Yeah, I would have taken some John Hamm. Very thankful for the years of laughter from Larry David and the Curb crew. Looking forward to seeing what you guys are going to be doing next, too. Going on airplane mode now. Salvatore Boca Bella Martello. Boca Bella, interesting. Is he a relation to Mocha Joe, apparently? And then he gave us a PS, but I'm not going to read it on the air because it's very private.
It's that he doesn't like Mexican food.
He doesn't like Mexican food, yeah. All right.
Mexican food.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Raj Krishnan says, the episode was excellent. Agree with your commentary. I would have loved to see Wanda. She would have been spectacular on the stands. When they declare a mistrial, say a jury disobeys their sequestration and is seen in a restaurant, doesn't the person go on trial again? He can't just have his sentence thrown out, can he? Yeah, I mean, the state would have the option to try him again. I mean, they may in this, you know, in many situations, states don't opt to retry people in a mistrial just because of the exhaustion of resources and it's, you know, whatever. Listen, I'm fine with that. Maybe here they would do it again. It's a show.
I thought about this. Yeah, you can make an argument either way, because a fairly frivolous prosecution, which this clearly is, would not have a reason to re-prosecute. But if the whole reason they're prosecuted is because they're trying to make some kind of strong political statement, then, you know, maybe they re-would. But yeah, for the purposes of the show, I don't have an issue with it.
And I think I even saw Brad Raffensperger, the very famous.
Yes, he tweeted at Larry. Yeah,
he tweeted basically saying, like, you know, he approached it in good fun, but did point out that, of course, no one ever has or would be prosecuted for violating.
Well, he didn't say would be, but he did say Larry's the first one to be.
I mean, I think the implication is that this is not something that they would pursue criminally if it were to occur. Yes.
I think the intent might be to, dampen turnout, but they're not actually going to go to any further ridiculous lengths than the further ridiculous length of already passing the law in the first place.
Yeah.
Passing it and then expanding it further last year.
Yeah, why did Auntie Ray have to give out her entire recipe? I'm sure Coca-Cola and other such companies' restaurants have had similar issues in the past. They might say some of the ingredients, but not say the proportion. Yep, we covered that.
Yeah.
They probably could have just gotten Susie the dressing itself from Ray without getting the recipe. It's not like Jeff is that crazy about her. I mean, who is? That's a good point. If, like, they went to Auntie Ray and said, hey, you know, for Susie's birthday, we want to give her, like, you know, two, you know, containers of the dressing. I feel like that Auntie Ray.
That's not that great of a gift.
It's a pretty good gift, and I think Susie would have liked it, and you wouldn't have...
Maybe like two cases or something like that.
Yeah, I guess.
And Auntie Ray might have been willing to do that, considering all the good things these people have done for her. Yeah, that's true. They might have tried that.
Yeah.
And then you hire the top scientists, top men, to reverse engineer it.
Exactly. Personal fact, my mom doesn't like when I tell people from a particular ethnicity that she doesn't like their food. For example, she would never want me telling a Greek person that she doesn't like Greek food. I personally don't care.
Sure. To the person themselves, I guess it's a little bit different. Although that's assuming that everybody has a personal, like, loyalty.
Investment.
Exactly. So, but yeah.
Yeah. I have a dual loyalty to both American food and Israeli food. even though there's really no such thing as American food, right?
Yeah. Hot dogs, hamburgers, pizza,
Pizza's an American food?
The fast food American pizza is an American food.
Got it. Okay.
As opposed to, like, you know, like the pizza you get in Italy.
Yeah. I feel like American food is just like everything.
Yeah. But when you go to, like,
other fast food.
When you go to other countries, they have quote unquote American restaurants. And yeah, they serve hot dogs and hamburgers and people dressed up in Uncle Sam costumes. And, yeah.
Right. He said, I personally don't care. If you told me you didn't like South Asian food, I'd be fine with it. Even if it meant Babu Bot went out of business. On my first viewing, the parallels with Seinfeld last episode started turning me off, but now I realize how great the episode was. I wouldn't mind knowing from one of you the actual legalities of what happens when there's a mistrial.
So as we said,
we already covered this. Yeah,
the prosecution can choose to start again anew, basically.
I didn't care much for the Jesus Christ pissing. I say better pissing on him than stringing him up and killing him. Bruce Springsteen was great. The whole COVID quarantining seemed a bit dated now. I like the girl from the Judy Doll episode. I'm still confused about how Auntie Ray put two and two together and realizing just that moment on the stand that it was Larry and Jeff who stole her recipe. I mean, just because of the word catawampus being thrown around, I've never heard the term before. I'd be curious if you have. Yeah, so I mean, I think catawampus pretty much sells Jeff out. I guess as you've argued, how does you immediately assume that Larry was there too?
There's no way.
I hear. But yeah, I think Jeff is dead to rights for the catawampus.
I don't know about dead to rights, but it's very compelling
evidence.
It's enough for her to be suspicious, but to be so certain as to bury Larry is the additional. Because Jeff suffers no real consequences here. I mean, Susie's pissed off at him, but Susie's always pissed off at him. Larry's the one who's going to suffer the consequences.
Yeah, Larry basically goes to jail, in theory, because of the catawampus.
Yeah, yeah.
He says he didn't understand the hypothetical bearded lady discussion between Larry and Jerry. Where did that fit in? I don't think there's a whole much to understand.
Neither did we, but it was fun.
Somebody will have a note on that discussion coming up soon. bringing up the obituary typo again didn't make sense. It was unintentional, though hilariously funny when I first saw the early episode. Overall, among the best episodes, right up there with Ben's birthday and the therapists. 4 pretties out of 5.
I guess that means it's me for the next one. The next one is from Adi Budharma, who says, I absolutely loved No Lessons Learned for all the reasons you discussed in your episode. Watching it was pure joy for me. The only thread not tied for me is we never find out if Leon watched the Seinfeld finale and how he felt about it. Yeah, that's true. In the final scene of Curb, Leon was upset with Susie because he said he was trying to watch a movie. I think I would have loved him to have been finishing the Seinfeld finale and getting his thoughts on it in the last scene of Curb. Yeah, so on the plane, that's what Leon's doing, that Susie bothers him by opening the window. Yeah, so he could have been watching the
finale. He should be watching the finale there. That's true.
Yeah, that's a great point by ID there. Meta as Fox, small quibble. Maybe LD and Jeff Schaefer know better, and there's a reason that wouldn't have been funny. No, I think that's a good comment by you. Other than a random movie that he's watching.
Yeah, I will add. So one thing I thought about that I was reminded of myself of another reason why I didn't really care for the Seinfeld finale is that they really tease you with the Jerry storyline. And I was so excited for that to be pursued because I loved all the Jerry show storylines in the previous seasons when they had come up. And that by itself is obviously like they could have done a very similar thing, right? Just, you know, continuing along the Jerry storyline in the finale of bringing back people and exposing them in certain ways. And I also just remember feeling like we got cheated on the tease of more Jerry that never materialized. So that always just rubbed me the wrong way. But Neuroman says, I believe this is a first time emailer. He says, having somewhat of a clip show for a finale is a mixed bag. Having a trial is somewhat innovative, like with the Seinfeld finale, but also keeps the focus on the past instead of the present or future. However, this episode still did contain a few new familiar elements. Jeff and Larry conduct a scheme. Susie participates in the scheme. Larry has a new commentary on Dix. And Larry, in the first episode of the season, was arrested for being nice, which is more satisfying. We got to see the characters as they normally are as the cliffhanger. I would have been fine with the normal episode in the usual setting around Los Angeles, as long as it captured the familiar Curb Your Enthusiasm elements. Pretty good. 3.75 pretties. Come with guy is Jerry Seinfeld for getting Larry David out with his keen eye. And the fucking asshole is Auntie Ray. Regardless of what happens, Larry David still broke the law for her, and she changed her mind about supporting him.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm still thinking about the email we just read a couple ago about the reference to Larry getting someone off by finding evidence of an alibi. Part of the reason why they couldn't have done this for the Seinfeld finale is because that hadn't yet happened in Larry's world. So that idea wasn't in their heads.
Yeah. But it would have been funny if they made a more specific homage.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Nelson from Denver. He's next. I have not sent an email in a couple seasons, he says. I thought I'd make a cameo in the finale as an homage to the homage Curb made to the Seinfeld finale. I bet many of us saw the premise of the Curb finale a mile away since they've been dropping hints about the Seinfeld finale all season. I was pleasantly surprised by the Jerry Seinfeld save at the end. I thought Larry was doing the same ending as a screw you to all our Seinfeld fan haters. I thought the pivot was a great touch. I belly laughed many times in the episode. All of the courtroom scenes were gold. I love how Larry is his own worst enemy and should never have taken the stand in any trial. That's definitely true. I like how all of the core characters got a little moment to shine in the episode. I do want to go back a fact check to see if Cheryl's aversion to Mexican food in the earlier seasons. Yeah. Did they ever go to a Mexican restaurant in particular? It's definitely possible, but I don't know.
Is the place that he goes with the fellatio teacher a Mexican restaurant? I know it was like spicy food.
He goes there without Cheryl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking of in Crazy Eyes Killa, where they go to get margaritas, I think. So that could have been, I think, but I could be misremembering. 5 pretties from Nelson. The come with guy is Jerry, of course, came in with the last minute save. The asshole is Cynthia, bad driver, and clearly lied about attempting to commit suicide. So sad the show is ending. I don't have HBO. I didn't have HBO until the late 2000s, so I was late to the party. The Car Salesman was the first episode of Curb I ever watched. Larry fighting with Richard had me dying of laughter. I quickly binged the first 6 seasons and was able to watch season 7 live and so on. Top 3 show all time for me. I loved every second of it. I'm so grateful you guys started the Rewatch podcast. It has been so fun listening to you guys break down each episode. Great work, fellas. I can't wait to see here what show you guys rewatch next after Friends. My vote is Cops. It's only 1,000. Wait, I was about to ask you to guess, but I think you know. 1,120 episodes off for Cops.
I think that's very doable. But yeah, first we have to finish Friends, then we'll do. Yeah, and then we'll
just
do Cops.
Just gonna move on past that recommendation.
Pretty good Cops.
Yeah. All Cops are between 1 and 5 pretties.
Yeah. Okay. Timothy Chatton says, first off, I must say thank you for the incredible work you've been putting together this pretty good podcast. I freaking love this podcast and could not miss writing it to Postman for my last opportunity to do so for Curb. This is my first time writing in and have to say this episode gets the full five pretties for me. It was not only a great episode of Curb, but an awesome series finale that wrapped up not just Curb, but also brought it fully back to give a bit of closure to Seinfeld. I don't know if Larry was dreaming up this for a while with seeing the info that Leon had never seen Seinfeld back when Leon was originally introduced, but loved how much that came around to him binging the show during the episode. My favorite court witness callback was the girl from The Doll taking the stand. Incredible for Larry to bring that actress back as a now adult. Oh, is it the same actress? I didn't even realize that.
I have no idea.
I just assumed it's not, but that's funny if they did. What was her name? Tara?
Tara Michelson is the character's name. Michelson. Yeah.
Let's see. Bailey Thompson was the actress in The Doll.
And it is Bailey Thompson, same actress. Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah.
That's,
great
that's
job.
Great. I just kind of assumed it wasn't, but that's fun. That's awesome that they did that. The pants stand to close the show was also just perfect. All the bits on the plane were great, except I don't think I've ever been asked to turn off my phone, but just to put it on airplane mode. Also, did Cheryl think it was racist or something to not enjoy Mexican food? What other reason could she have for caring? Who knew that she didn't like this tasty cuisine?
Yeah.
My come with guy is...
I will say this. I think that the cuisine is very tasty, but all Mexican food is kind of the same. Like quesadillas and empanadas. Like it's all the same combination of things in dough that's either fried or wrapped. Or it's like every Mexican item is kind of the same. They're all delicious, but I don't really know the difference between them.
My come with guy is, of course, Jerry, who saved Larry from prison. I was thrilled to see him come back in this episode, and he was just perfect. The fucking asshole, of course, goes to Lewis's girlfriend, Cynthia, who should have her driver's license pulled, as I'm sure she has caused numerous accidents and maybe even a few deaths with how terrible her driving is. Anyway, what an incredible series and episode. My one wish for the series overall is I would have loved to see Larry do bits like in The Car Salesman of working real jobs. Larry working a real job is just hilarious to see and would love to see more of that. I rewatch that season 2 opener frequently because it is just delightful. One last thing about
so the like finale. In jail, for example, when Larry has to do one of the jobs. You want to see
Yeah, I guess that would have been fun. I'm doing a series rewatch, and in season 11, episode 6, at timestamp 15 minutes and 30 seconds, Larry recounts to Leon an idea he had not being able to sleep because of the overweight roofer. That idea being if he could date a bearded lady that shaved. This was fleshed out in the finale with Jerry and was an aha moment of a reference I didn't even realize was hiding in the finale. I bet they didn't realize that either, that they had mentioned it before.
So you think that there's two bearded lady references, you know, in consecutive seasons, and it's just because it's an idea in Larry's head, you think?
Yes. I think this is just something that has been percolating in Larry's head as like a possibly bit, and yeah, it came maybe out last year, and then it came out again here.
Yeah. But either way, great find by Timothy there.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you for the incredible podcast, and hope to have more opportunities to write into the Postman with some more series wrap-up episodes of Curb.
Okay, Zach Louis writes, I just finished watching the finale, and I wanted to write in and thank you both for making the last several years of watching Curb even more enjoyable. Oh, thank you.
I'm loving this Av and Alex love fest.
Yeah, we're getting more pretties than Larry here. I really love the finale, but I'll leave the scene-by-scene and witness-by-witness breakdowns to you. Come with guy is Jerry. Hilarious throughout, and obviously saves Larry in the end. The fucking asshole's Larry. Just seems fitting since the whole episode is about what a jerk he is, or at least appears to be to many people. Full five pretties for Zach.
All right. And Alex Orvitz says, for the final time for Curb, hello, Av and Chester. There was so much to love in this episode. Alice Ajani, Richard Lewis going out on such a comedic high note with yet another spiel about how he wants the family. Larry going full Larry in the courtroom. All the various cameos of major and minor cast members over the year. The list goes on. However, I don't think it was quite as good as it could have been. Maria Sofia would have loved to see one more time and her dad. And some of the story, while funny, which I agree with Av is the main objective, didn't fully come together for me. But for a series finale, it was extremely well done. So while if this had been any other episode, it would have been a 3.5 or 4 pretties, I give no lessons learned and emphatic, pretty good. 4.5. P.S. I can't even remember the last time I saw Greg Kinnear in something new. He did a serviceable job as the prosecutor, and it's good that Curb got Dean Norris out of the house to be the judge. Come with? It has to be Jerry, right? He went above and beyond the call of duty. And I like how he can stomach social interactions just a tiny bit more than Larry, to where he can tell Michael Fouché that he cannot do cordial. I did hear somebody else point out that like this was also just like a good bit to show that like the Jerry approach would basically solve 99% of Larry's problems, to like just be honest with people and just say no. Like, yeah. Larry's always just like trying to, you know, make everybody happy and like, you know, doesn't know how to like, you know, not do a favor or just tell people to go fuck themselves at the outset.
Yeah. Jerry nipping things in the bud ultimately often makes things better.
Yeah.
For himself.
For his fucking asshole.
It's a good point about Greg Kinnear. I think of him as a guy who's always working, but I'm looking at his IMDb. I have to go back to 2018 when he was on House of Cards and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt for something that he was on that I heard of. And that's 6 years ago. So, yeah, I guess he has not been as high profile as we thought, as I thought, as I perceived.
Yeah. Fucking asshole, he says, too many to list, but I'll just give it to Ted Danson. I love villainous Ted Danson, and his smarmy attention-seeking protesting was so funny. A big honorable mention to Allison Janney, through though, as a secondary fucking asshole.
All right. Next, we have Ken Eisman, who is short but sweet. He says, I don't have much to say, but thank you for doing this. I give you guys the full five pretties.
Hooray. And Drew Kirsch says he really enjoyed the finale. What made this show even better these last couple of years was listening to your takes on it, though. So please do another podcast. Come with Guy is Jerry for getting LD out of jail, although I think Susie was in contention for at least trying the wheelchair sympathy gambit. What I'm surprised by is that neither of you picked Allison Janney's character as the fucking asshole, because she clearly is, for Rue driving and lying about it and manipulating Richard with the fake suicide attempt and lying about that too. I give the episode 4 pretties.
All right, and now we have Jack Small, who says, well, gentlemen, that's a wrap. 120 episodes have come and gone, and we have reached the conclusion of this show that we all love so dearly. The appropriately named No Lessons Learned brought tons of laughs, endless cameos, and some great Curb bits. I want to get my nitpicks in early and out of the way so that the rest of this review is all the good stuff. So here's some of his nitpicks. Starting off in the plane during the opening scene, I thought the whole turn your phone off on, put it in airplane mode made a bit no sense. The flight attendant can't make up her mind about whether the phone should be off or in airplane mode. When your phone's on airplane mode, it can still be on, and there'd be no way for someone to see well enough that it's not in airplane mode for them to squeal on you. Yeah, well, I think we talked about that. That's a good point. So it's a little dated. The storyline with Cheryl not wanting people to know she doesn't like Mexican food is weird and nonsensical. That was that the A.B. Sutton take or the Jared Jerome take? Someone else had that take in the chat. Yeah. Nobody acts this way in real life, and within the context of the show, Cheryl is usually the temperature gauge for how normal people act. Yeah, don't really agree, but it's a take that others have had, so that's fine. This isn't really a criticism, but it was just weird to see Hank Schrader playing a Southern judge. Didn't feel right. Does he not ever do a Southern accent? I don't know. I could see a Southern accent from him.
I don't know.
Yeah. The part of the opening arguments where Larry is trying to swat a fly wasn't particularly funny. My just big issue is how Sibby is completely unaware of it. That was sort of a little too sitcom-y for me. Like that everyone in the room is like completely like enthralled by him and Sibby doesn't even notice. All right, now for the goodies. I love that we got to see every single core character and in a couple cases seeing most or all of them on screen at the same time. I could be wrong, but before the scene at the bar where Richard introduces Cynthia, I don't think Larry, Jeff, Susie, Leon, and Richard had all been in a scene together. So that was a cool moment.
Yeah.
Larry, Leon, Richard. Never?
Yeah, that I couldn't tell you.
All right, let's rewatch and keep our eye out for that.
I did see that Jeff Schaefer mentioned, and I'll have some Jeff Schaefer quotes at the end, some of the interviews that I saw him do. But one of the things he mentioned is that the lesson he learned from the Mad Men finale, from talking to Matthew Weiner, is that they felt like a little bit empty at the end, that they had a lot of the cast separated because like they had Don in California and other people back in New York, and it was very important to them that they got like the whole crew together for the finale, you know, like all in the same place filming scenes together. So that was definitely intentional.
Okay. Next bullet. Richard's involvement in this episode was fantastic, as has been his MO throughout the entirety of the series. He's still looking for the one. I loved his dialogue with Larry about him having kids and adopting a 40-year-old doctor or lawyer. While some of his lines in this episode were misses, I thought Leon had a few great ones, specifically the interchangeable dick bit. Also, although, as we discussed, it's not really canon that Leon would need an extra one. But anytime he was telling Larry or Jerry about his experience with watching Seinfeld, yeah, those were great as well. I'm surprised we didn't get a pretty good at any point in this episode, but we did get a Larry stare. This was probably one of the most unhinged Larry stare moments we've ever had. I broke out in uncontrollable laughter right as I heard the music cue in. It is great how he has like this music that just triggers in every fan, like, oh, we know what's about to happen. He's about to stare at the person.
Yeah.
I'm one of the weirdest who actually liked the Seinfeld finale, and as such, I loved every moment of the trial. Getting to reminisce on some of Curb's ultimate moments was a joy for me. By far the best of the Witness cameos was the mystery woman who turned out to be the child from the doll episode. Yep. While the Susie wheelchair bit felt a bit outlandish, it led to a classic Susie shouting tirade. Couldn't have had a finale without Susie cussing out Jeff and calling him fat. Last note, I love the callback to the very first episode of the show with the pants tent. If you can't tell from my other comments, I'm a sucker for nostalgia, and this one hit perfectly. I give the episode of Curb Enthusiasm a pretty good. That's 4.5. I absolutely love this episode. I do, however, think its long runtime did the episode a disservice. There was a little bit of fat that could have been trimmed that would have been eliminated. Somebody nitpicks and bumped this to a full 5 pretties.
Oh, I disagree.
I wanted every minute possible.
As it was winding down, like, and I saw there was only 10 minutes left, yeah, I was like, no, more.
Yeah, I agree. All right, the come with guy is Jerry Seinfeld. Not only does he come with to Atlanta for the trial, which I doubt he would do it in real life. He's also the one responsible for freeing Larry. I also thought he had some funny interactions with Larry and Leon. The fucking asshole Cynthia. A, she gets off on screwing people over in traffic. B, she lied about not being the one who wouldn't let Larry in. And C, she probably lied about attempting suicide to manipulate Richard. I won't say who this is out of respect for them, but I have a family member who was dating someone, and then she got pregnant. And then she told him that she would kill herself and the baby if this family member of mine did not marry her. And so he married her. And they were unhappily married ever since. It's all like, I don't think that threatening to kill yourself is a reason to get back with someone. It's a reason to encourage someone to seek mental health assistance, probably. But not a great reason to date someone or marry them. But anyway.
If I threatened to commit suicide, would you marry me?
No, I would call your police or doctors or whoever there is to assist you. Gentlemen, it's been an honor and a great ride. I can't say enough how much I've enjoyed listening to the podcast. It's brought an entirely new element to how I watch the show from the bottom of my heart. And from J to J, thank you. So that is from Jack Small, who is a J, apparently. J to J. Apparently. All right, John Bumbley is next.
Jim Crumley says
Flumbly Blumbly.
Well, it was not the funny. You know, I saw other Jim Crumley is going to jail.
Who's the other Jim Crumley?
James Crumley, the person who's the parents whose kid like killed somebody.
Oh, I don't know the name, but I remember that story. Yeah.
While it's not the funniest episode of Curb, it was very well written. Whether it was a direct influence or not, I think that Larry and Jeff learned the lesson of the Cheers finale. While the audience for a big comedy might think they want finality, what they really want is a big event that fizzles out and things go back to normal. So then we can imagine the gang is immortal and they continue going about their misadventure forever. 4.5 pretties. Fucking asshole is the judge for allowing all that nonsense testimony. Come with guy while he was seldom around during the run of the show. He saves the day at the end. Jerry Seinfeld.
All right. And next we have.
Brooks.
I was just reading something. Zach Brooks. I'd love to try that salad dressing. One note, it has 1 tablespoon of vinegar and 3 tablespoons of olive oil, but 3 teaspoons is the same as 1 tablespoon. Oh, good observation by Zach. Big weekend for Charlton Copley, the South African guy at the bar, who plays Michael Fouché. He also had a role in the Monkey Man movie that just came out, Random Ladder Connection. What's the Monkey Man movie? I don't even know what he's talking about.
It's like a new action movie that just came out.
Oh.
It's called Monkey Man.
Okay. Because isn't there a new Rise of the Planet of the Apes or something also?
There might be, but that's not this. Yeah. There's a movie called Monkey Man.
No, but that is about Monkey Man also, isn't it? Yeah. In general, a lot of random things happen this episode for seemingly no reason. Why the stuff with Richard's girlfriend or the kid with the ball? I mean, that's Seinfeld. That's Curb. That's funny. The kid with the ball thing was great. It's also an opportunity to say he's never learned a lesson.
Yeah.
Richard's girlfriend. Like every time we have Richard, we have to have him pining for some woman and thinking she might be the one that he might settle down, even when he's on death's door. So, I thought those both worked. Come with guys, Jerry, for obvious reasons, but also he was really funny this episode. The Ron Laser just killed me. It made me wish we got Jerry in more of the season, though. Honorable mention for Ted, he was very funny, too. I think if we had Jerry earlier in the season, it would sort of water down the joy of seeing him in the finale.
Yeah, no, this was perfect.
Yeah.
I also just really love how quickly he just like yes and this is once he realizes what Leon is talking about. He's like, oh yeah, how did you figure it out? Yeah, I got the tapes. Like he doesn't push back on it, like he indulges in it. It's so good.
All right, the fucking asshole is Auntie Ray. Larry's in trouble for giving her water and she can't put her anger aside in the courtroom. Honorable mention for Vidman. If he so badly wants to expose corruption, wouldn't he support Larry's support of voting rights? Well, Vindman is just principled, a follower of the law, whatever that law might be, I guess.
Yeah, I was surprised that Larry never got exposed for the fact that, like, he didn't, like, that it was an accident. Because, like, there was multiple times where somebody questioned him over the course of the season about the fact, like, oh, and, like, you knew that it was, you were breaking the law when you did that, right?
Yeah.
And, like, he always, like, says, yeah, of course. But, like, we obviously know that it was a complete random accident. And that never comes out. But
now the question is, if it's a random accident, does that hurt or help him? It hurts him from sort of a PR liberal hero perspective. But in terms of the prosecution, now, ignorance of the law is not an excuse, because intent is not a factor in this law. It's the merely handing out the water that is the violation. However, the prosecution's whole argument is that Larry's the guy who just flaunts the law and doesn't care about the law. If it turns out that Larry didn't even know because he was just a visitor giving a random woman a bottle of water, that would sort of undercut the prosecution's main argument, I think.
Yeah, and you would think it would certainly be a factor at sentencing if the whole thing was just a misunderstanding.
Yeah. Overall, a pretty good episode. The callbacks were fine, but wore a little thin. Wow, a little bit harsh from Zach Brooks here. I like the final scene, but I was the only one kind of expecting them to all die in a plane crash. Hard to put a number on it, but I'll say 4 pretties. Curb will be missed.
Okay, and we go to John Gormley.
We read his email already.
No, we didn't.
That was a joke about how his name sounds like Jim Crumley. Never mind.
Oh. Was an well, here it is. The end of Curb. Very sad to see, but what a fantastic episode. I always thought either the season 5 or 7 finale would have both been the perfect way to end the show, and whatever it eventually would end, it would be hard to match that. Now the day has come. I think LD has pulled off a better ending, ironically with elements of both those season finales combined. Also serves as a positive ending to the Curb Seinfeld verse. Leon was fantastic in this episode, of course. His first impression of Seinfeld would be that it's actually a fuck documentary. Richard and Ted both had some very funny parts, which served their Curb characters in a great way. The salad dressing story was a good way to break up the trial scenes rather than one continuous trial like they did in Seinfeld. Considering Jeff also gave Susie a homemade bottle of the dressing in addition to the recipe, does this mean Larry and Jeff were whipping up a mixture of it overnight?
Oh, that is a good question. Where did they get that bottle from? Ah, okay, so I'm going to make a proposal here that off camera, Jeff goes to Auntie Ray. No, it can't be, because the moment that that getting the recipes brought up in the hotel room, he immediately calls and pretends to be Journey Gunderson. So never mind. I was going to say maybe before he went to the Journey Gunderson route, he tried to ask Auntie Ray herself. She said, no, but I'll give you this one bottle. And that's what alerted her to the fact that Jerry and Larry were on the hunt for her. And that would help make her know that they were the ones. But yeah, but that doesn't make any sense. So never mind.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. I'm surprised Auntie Ray didn't also mention that Larry cheated on Loretta during the time she was bashing him in the witness box. I thought the witness selection for the most part was well selected. Those who were there attacked Larry in a horrifying manner. Anyone who's only mentioned but not present, such as Greg, worked well too, because if he was testifying, he likely would have praised Larry. The prosecutor evidently gathered info from so many of Larry's old acquaintances and employees, then narrowed down who is best to speak to and whose story will I paint in my own light. I must also say the actor who played the prosecutor was excellent too. Overall, excellent episode, great entertainment, and very fun twist. I'm glad Larry won't be receiving too many pitchforks over this ending. Now his mother won't have to worry about anyone bothering him. Would have loved to see Larry throw in a pretty good after Jerry explained how he got him out of prison. Yeah, that would have been a nice way to end, especially for fans of this podcast. Come with guy is the man himself, Larry David. Fuck the asshole is Richard's girlfriend, another tosser. And bonus, come with guy goes to Alex and Av for a whopper of a podcast, which has been both great individual entertainment and also enhanced the Curb experience each week. Thank you, guys. You're welcome.
Thank you. Although, is it a whopper a lie?
I don't know. Maybe in Ireland it means something else.
Oh, yeah. We've been lying this whole time. Av and I have never seen an episode of Curb.
I mean, the Burger King burger is called a Whopper, right? So I think it just means like, you know, it's a big, juicy, delicious podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
No lesson learned is pretty good.
Yeah.
And we end off as always.
Yeah. By the way, a Whopper is a thing that is extremely or unusually large. That's the definition. Yeah, so Olin had graciously, or maybe even without his consent, so Olin had lost the closing spot to John for much of the season. But for the final episode, we return to how we started 120-plus episodes ago with Olin Allen. Is it a hot take to prefer the trial elements of the Seinfeld finale than this Curb one? Although overall, the Curb episode is probably slightly better, mainly because in Seinfeld, for the pretrial part, Larry was writing earlier versions of the characters, but the actors were applying the wackier season 9 versions of the characters. Oh, that's an interesting point. Yeah, that Larry still has them stuck, you know, in season 7 when he left in Seinfeld. Anyway, Leon was at his best here for the season, with the teaming up of him with Seinfeld absolutely wonderful. More great lines from Richard, Ted being consistent in wanting to upstage Larry, and Susie and Jeff being the couple we grew to love. All great outside of the courtroom. Inside the courtroom, ugh. Oh, wow, we're ending on a ugh. Nowhere near enough for McCastrowski, given how they built her up her need for revenge earlier in the season. Does also seem like Cheryl, maybe along with Ted, were backstabbing Larry and feeding information only she knew to the prosecutor. Oh, that's a good point. Such as the sex doll, the incest group, given that we saw no other resolution to that. Susie in the wheelchair and Auntie Ray's ludicrous turn fell flat, as unfortunately did Dean Norris as the judge. Did you have a problem with Dean Norris as the judge off? I mean, he didn't do much, but I don't know how to say he was a negative. He was just a nothing, if anything.
Yeah, I thought he was fine. I thought he played the antagonistic judge pretty well.
Yeah, I thought he did fine. Also, much prefer Seinfeld ending with him in jail and doing his stand-up routine there. Very much like the ending to Mel Brooks as the producer. Also, surely Larry is likely to have a retrial, so it didn't come across as a jubilant ending for me. Yeah, so we discussed this. The prosecution could, but at this point, maybe they've exhausted their energy. The come with guy... I'm going with the duo of Leon and Jerry, who were both excellent and really worked superbly off each other. Shows how great Seinfeld himself is as a straight man. The fucking asshole is Cheryl for secretly arranging so much material being fed to the prosecutor. Listen, I can't argue. It's a good theory, and it explains a lot that we don't know. The episode rating is 3.5 pretties. The season average for Olin is a straight 3 pretties, making it the lowest ranked season for me, behind season 10 at 3.2 and season 11 at 3.15. So very steady decline for me after a decent return in season 9, which is joint fifth best season for me. So yeah, a hot take by Olin, because the 9th season is by most considered to be the worst season. So yeah. My top 4 are from the first 5 seasons, with season 2 being the slight disappointment with a slightly lower average rating. Total Curb episode by episode average rating, 3.43 pretties for Olin. Average 3.3. Alex average 3.1. Audience average 3.4. All right, so we're all about there. Stats. Number 4
I added that in just to provide context. That wasn't part of his email.
So OV's average is a 3.3 and mine is a 3.1.
Let's save the overall rankings for a moment. We'll get to our ratings. I did just want to add, I did cobble together some quotes from Jeff Schaefer from the various interviews that he did in the wake of the finale.
This is not a postman that Jeff submitted to our podcast?
No, unfortunately not. He says, "We knew that we wanted to start with what happened in Georgia, and one of the possible paths that leads to it is a trial. But we hadn't really figured out what we wanted to do in the trial. And honestly, from the little story about Larry getting in a tangle with a kid and the mom saying, 'I want you to be part of this lesson,' that got us thinking about how Larry never learns a lesson. And then we realized, oh, let's just do this on a big scale. Let's redo the Seinfeld finale while owning the fact that Larry's never learned a lesson. And by the way, the symmetry between the Good Samaritan law in the Seinfeld finale and the water in the Curb finale is mere coincidence. We wrote the Curb stuff with the water having no idea we were going to redo the Seinfeld finale on Curb. We were planning on returning to it, but it's been manufactured that the Seinfeld people did something bad and went to jail, and Larry did something good and went to jail. That relationship didn't exist in our heads. It's something people were looking at after the fact, but it was never intended or thought about. What I love about the finale is that it touches on something bigger than the show. We often blur the line between real Larry and TV Larry, but here there is no line at all. Both Larrys have never learned a lesson, and thank the gods for it. Larry always says that it's more fun to play Larry David than it is to be Larry David. Because if the real Larry David did what the TV Larry David does, the real Larry David would be in jail and have a broken jaw from getting punched repeatedly in the face. That's why he does the show. People always say Curb is about Larry's life, but that's wrong. Curb is about Larry's ideas."
Okay. So on that note, Av, let's discuss our cumulative rankings for this episode, for the season, etc.
Well, I don't know how official any of these rankings really are.
Yeah, so the rankings for this episode, as expected, were very, very strong. Frankly, stronger than I expected. The audience score from the 17 or 18 people that we had write in was a 4.48, making it the number 2 ranked episode from the audience right after the table read. I gave it a full 5.0, and I have ranked it as my 7th favorite episode of Curb overall. You ranked it a little bit lower, 4.5, and ranked it as your 21st episode overall. of the series, and that averages out to a total grade of 4.66, making it the number 6 overall episode of Curb. Obviously very, very strong. Ahead of it is Opening Night, Palestinian Chicken, The Table Read, and The Ski Lift, I believe.
Yes, although not in that order. The overall ranking, which is one-third Av, one-third me, one-third listeners, except when we have a guest, and most of the top five have guests, and they all give it a 5, which helps, is 1 is Table Read, 2 is Palestinian Chicken, 3 is Crazy Eyes Killa, 4 is Ski Lift, 5 is Opening Night, and 6 is No Lessons Learned.
That's a good point. If we had a guest for this episode and they had given it a 5, let's see what happens. This goes all the way up to the number 3 episode. So No Lessons Learned, ruined by the producers not putting on a guest.
Yeah. We talked about a couple of the more peripheral characters on this episode being a guest, but we thought it didn't make sense for a series finale to have a guest unless the guest was literally going to be Larry or someone who wasn't going to be.
Yeah, it needed to be a heavy hitter, we felt. Yeah. Or something like this.
No disrespect to the non-heavy hitters who did not guest.
Jeff is a heavy hitter.
Yeah. Jeff, we could have allowed
you to. That fucking heavy hitter.
Yeah. Just to close out the overall, the pretty, pretty good official rankings, Mr. Softy is at 7. The Black Swan is at 8. The Survivor is at 9. And Trick or Treat is at 10. And all those episodes are episodes that both you and I love, obviously, which is how they're so high. None of these episodes are lower than 13 for you or 26 for me. Yeah. So those top 10 are episodes that we all love, that the audience all loves, except Survivor ranked only 77 by the listeners. So a couple of listeners, I guess, are big, not fans of either the show or the Holocaust or both. And that's why that one's a little bit lower. So those are our episode rankings. Av, where do the seasons rank? We heard where they rank for Olin. Where do they rank for me and for you and for the audience and et cetera?
Yeah, so for me, season 12 is a comes out as a middle of the road episode, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So, right in the middle part, 3.3. I have season 7 as my favorite episode, my favorite season. For you, this comes out a little bit lower in the score, but high, a little bit higher in the ranking. I think this is your 6th favorite season. So very similar to me.
And by the way, it's interesting that based on the average rankings of each episode, Olin said season 2 was his lowest of the first 5. Season 2 is my highest rated season, which is a little bit surprising to me. And it's your second highest favorite season. So we both really loved a lot of episodes in season 2, even though it didn't have sort of the arcing storyline of a season 4 or season 7 that made it as sort of uniquely memorable.
Yeah. For the audience, there is a very tight race after the top 2 seasons. The audience has season 7 as the best episode in series, and then season 5 as the second best. Then the third rated season, according to the audience, is season 8, which comes out to an audience overall average for all the episodes of 3.495.
To the thousandth place we go.
Season 12 has an audience average of 3.494.
Yeah. But all these rankings, their rankings are all much more bunched together, which I guess makes sense because it's a bunch of people rating and not just one individual person. So you're not going to have as much outliers.
And then season 6 just behind it at 3.490. So really closely bunched together there. So fourth favorite season, according to the audience, and it is also the 4th favorite season overall behind season 7, season 2, and season 4, which is, a little bit surprising to me. I think there's probably some element of recency bias.
I think we probably got more listener rankings as we went along, and listener rankings tend to be more positive generally because people are excited to submit their – that's my speculation without actually looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
So –
That is the overall. We told you, we were mentioning before my average episode comes out to a 3.3. Yours is a little bit lower at a 3.1. The audience at 3.4, and overall average of 3.3. So that's like our baseline overall is the average episode of Curb is 3.3 per piece.
Yep.
Don't you hate to be continueds on TV? I mean, the whole reason you watch a TV show is because it ends. If I wanted a long, boring story with no point to it, I have my life.
All right, well, next week, Av, Curb is over. But we, as I think you joked in the chat, are just getting started. We are going to be back with at least one more before. We're not jumping right back into Friends or any other TV show. First of all, we have Passover coming up. So we might have... be off for most of the rest of the month of April. But don't unsubscribe to this podcast just yet. Even if you're just a Curb fan, don't go anywhere. We're going to have more Curb content before we move on. Certainly, you already said we'll have at least one episode that's scheduled with our friend A.B. Sutton. And beyond that, again, we might take a couple weeks off with Passover, et cetera, but we will have more content, whether it is Curb, Friends, or otherwise related, moving forward at some point.
Yeah, and you know, if you the fans want to weigh in on what direction you would like to see this podcast go in, you're certainly welcome to do that. And we of course are very interested in what you all are looking for. Of course, the end of the day, we're just gonna do whatever we want, but it's always good to know what people want.
Yeah, if your ideas are bad, don't send them, but do send them if you think that they are.
Get a life, Jews.